I want to read to you from Mark, Luke, and then back to Matthew. And the message today is a talk with Jesus about our successes and failures in his service. So we'll read first of all from Mark chapter 6, and reading only abbreviated portions, I will fill in the details, God willing, as we go along. Mark chapter 6, verse 7. And he calleth unto him the 12, and began to send them forth by 2 and 2. And he gave them authority over the unclean spirits, and he charged them that they should take nothing for their journey. Verse 13. 12. And they went out and preached that men should repent, and they cast out many demons, and anointed with oil many that were sick, and healed them. Verse 30. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus, and they told him all things, whatsoever they had done, and whatsoever they had taught. Now, Luke chapter 10. Verse 1. Now after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others, and sent them 2 and 2 before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. And he said unto them, the harvest indeed is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he send forth laborers into his harvest. So he sends them forth, and in verse 17 it says, and the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us in thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan fallen as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. In that same hour he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said. And now back to Matthew 17. Savior has been upon the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, and James, and John. And verse 14 says, and when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a man, kneeling to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is epileptic and suffereth grievously. For all times he falleth into the fire, and all times into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Verse 19. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast it out? And he said unto them, because of your little faith. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are glad for another Lord's Day. Some have remembered thy Son, rejoiced in his remembrance of us. And we are glad now that having spoken to thee about thy Son, sung his praises, worship thee in spirit and in truth, we would now seek to minister to the people of God. It is your will that both things be done, that the children of God be fed, as well as the Father be worshipped in spirit and in truth. We have done as best we could the first, and now, by thine empowering, our Father, we would do the second. So feed thy people this day. Prepare their hearts. How many words are spoken, and how futile they are, because the hearts are like unto the hardened ground, or filled with thorns, or stones. So by thy Spirit prepare those plots of ground where the word of God shall fall and bring forth fruit, and forgive our sins and empower our lips, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Last week, it was a talk about the death of a friend with the Lord Jesus. Because of that, of course, there would be tears. There would be sorrow. This week, it is not talking to Jesus about something that happened to somebody else, but it is talking to our Savior about something that happened to us. Today, the message is about our successes and our failures in our service for the Lord Jesus. I only read you three passages, but in those passages, they both contain accounts of successes and failures in the service of the Lord Jesus. This is the encouragement that even among those that were personally trained by Christ, those that were empowered by His Spirit, not only experienced success, but experienced failures. Did you think you were the only ones that failed in life? From the beginning, the followers of Christ that you knew most intimately have been failures. Not one or two, but all. If I ask you, who denied the Lord Jesus three times? You say, Peter. How many of the apostles forsook him and fled? You say, it says all of them did. Well then, they all failed. And so if we are looking for one who is above reproach, without sin, without failure, we are looking in vain apart from the Lord Jesus. I received a letter just a few weeks back about a young man who spoke of how he had been encouraged by a brother in an assembly. He said, I held him up as my ideal, and this is startling. He said, after he had been so helpful to me, he stood up and confessed before the assembly that he had never been saved. And he said, I was shattered. I didn't know what to do. It shows you that the power is in the Word. It is not the man, it is the message. How delightful if the man and the message are both the same. But it does not matter what you heard on radio or television. If you find those who turn out to be hypocrites and false, the Word of God is that which is powerful. Let me ask you, suppose you have a man who is defiled and unclean, but he goes out into your field and sows corn and sows wheat and barley. What comes up, you say? Why, what he sows? Of course. That's the delightful thing. If we are able to distinguish between the man who does the sowing and what he sows. At times you have fine men, and they sow poison. There are those in this town that are respectable, upstanding men, and they're preaching poison to their congregations this day. And yet there are charlatans that know how to make money, and they will be preaching the Word of God, and some soul that hears that Word, he may not know about the man who's preaching it. But if he hears the Word and can separate between the two, he says, I do not care who it is who said it, but what he said is true. that is the thing. But we should seek to be like our message. We should not seek to be one thing and the message another, but understand that all have experienced, even in our Lord's days, hypocrites, traitors like Judas. One of the 12 was a Judas Iscariot, and all of the 12 were failures, but at the same time, they experienced successes. Now, if I go through life and have only failures, how miserable I am. But I have not gone through life having only failures. I have had successes as well. And because of that, what has happened to me is what has happened to the apostles, and it has probably happened to you. We have periods when we are fruitful, and then we have periods of barrenness. But because you have a period of barrenness, do not forget that at one time in your life there was a period of fruitfulness. And because you have been barren for a period of time, it does not mean that that barrenness is permanent. There can be another time of fruitfulness. Let me ask you, when these who were failures, who were unable to cast out that demon in Matthew 17, after that, were they ever successful again? You say, yes, they were successful again. They were empowered by the Spirit of God, and they went forth and led multitudes to Christ. Well then, take courage that way as well. That if you have been successful, but you're in a period of dearth, there can be times of refreshing and blessing again. That's the encouragement that God would give to us. Do not think that because you have failed, God cannot use you again, will not use you again. Did he use Peter? You say, yes. Have you blasphemed? Have you denied that you knew Jesus Christ as Lord? You say, I haven't gone that far. If you did, would you feel as if you were worthy to speak the name of Christ again? You say, never. Who was it on the day of Pentecost that preached and thousands responded? You say, by the man who said he didn't even know who Jesus of Nazareth was. Well then, take courage. God sets forth in his word not only successes but failures, and also successes after men have experienced failures. And so that is the encouragement. In the portion that I read to you in Mark, it is the apostles to whom Christ gives instructions, and they go forth and they are successful. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, it is not the apostles, but 70 disciples that are sent forth and are successful. Now that's an encouragement. You're liable to think, I'm no apostle, nor I, but I am a disciple. And the Lord sent forth disciples as well as apostles, and both of them had the same experience. They went to fight the same enemy, they went forth for the same purpose, and they both came back victorious, reporting to the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, I'm not an apostle, but I am a disciple. And even though I've experienced failure, the disciples, as well as the apostles, experienced failure, and yet God picked them up and cleaned them and used them again. And so you say, I'm not going to quit. I am going to be among those of whom Christ asks the question. He says, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Well, I do trust that when the Lord comes back, it will be a period in my life when my faith is strong and when I'm abiding in Christ. If the Lord came back and had to look at me as he did at Peter, when Peter had said, I don't know the man, how sorrowful that would be. And now, little children, abide in him, that if he shall be manifested, we may have boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Let him come back when I am abiding in him, when I am standing at Pentecost and preaching his name, not when I'm saying I don't know who Jesus is, or when I'm in some place that I am ashamed of. He's going to come back and we'll be in one of those conditions. But understand this. Whenever he comes, if he comes and finds us and we are ashamed, he will still save us because as he looked at Peter and Peter went out and wept bitterly, he restored Peter's soul. Do you remember the 23rd Psalm? It is just as much true to say the second part of the Psalm as the first. The Lord is my shepherd. But it says, he restoreth my soul. What if the Lord were only the shepherd of those that were faithful and never needed restoration? But he is the shepherd and he restores our souls. And the apostles needed restoration. And the disciples needed restoration. And we need restoration. And Christ is the Savior who restores souls as well as saves souls as well as shepherds sheep. So he is the Savior that we need. And inasmuch as I have read you these conversations with the Savior, I discover that some of the disciples and apostles have sense enough to talk to Jesus about their failures as well as about their successes. Now, who minds going to somebody to talk to them about the success you've had and what you've been doing for the Lord? But who wants to face the Lord when you've been a miserable failure? And that is the mistake we make so often. What happens is this. We should be reading and praying consistently. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. And yet we neglect that. And the thing we need most after neglecting it is to resume reading in it day and night. But since we failed to do so in the past, we're ashamed to begin again. But that's just the thing that we're supposed to do. And we're to talk to the Lord about our failures as well as our successes. That is why I read you both of those passages. And so, most of the talk that you will do to the Lord, what would it be about? You say, my failures. Well, that's fine. Because the disciples talked to the Lord about failures. They talked to him collectively and they talked to him individually. Let me tell you about some that talked to the Lord about their failures individually. Think of Elijah. Here is a prophet that is going to come again before the great day of the Lord. And Elijah was a failure and he talked to God about it. And Jonah was a failure. He was a failure even though he did the will of God. He did it and he was so angry because what he did brought about blessing upon the city of Nineveh. He was a failure and he talked to God about it. But in the New Testament, you'll find that the 9 disciples who were failures talked to the Lord Jesus about their failure together. And this is what it says, and I'm so thankful that it's true, that God takes this into consideration. It says that when they were alone, you see, they'd been surrounded with multitudes. They didn't say in the hearing of the multitudes, now why was it that we failed? It says they went into the house, and when they were alone with Jesus, they said, now tell us what caused us to fail. I'm so glad of that. What if the Lord had said, you come out here in the presence of all these people and ask me these questions. But the Lord is willing to let us get into a house and get alone with him and talk in private about our failures. At times he talks in the presence of others. I remember when Peter was influenced by Satan and told the Lord not to go to Jerusalem and be crucified. The Lord turned on him and said, get thee behind me, Satan. He said that because there are times when we have to be rebuked in the presence of others. But if it's possible, the Lord will save us humiliation. And just as he tells us, go into your closet and shut the door. You say, Lord, if I'm going to talk about failure, I assure you I'll go into my closet and shut the door. And the Lord is willing to listen to us that way. And the encouragement is this, that when we talk to him about our successes, and we talk in excess, and we emphasize our successes, the Lord is able to temper what we told him with good advice and sound, logical, balanced thinking when we talk to him about our successes. You say, why Because at times when we tell the Lord about our successes, we emphasize something that to Him isn't important at all. And we neglect to talk about something that is important. And at the same time, when we are failures, and this is the encouragement, the Lord knows why we failed, and He tells us the remedy for not failing again. You say, how delightful. So when I come into His presence, I'm liable to be filled with emotion and enthusiasm and forget ever so much that I did and said for the Lord and not learn the lessons that He believes are important by my successes. Consider that some of our successes, we only remember a little bit about those successes, but we are to examine the entirety of our successes and learn lessons in a balanced way. That's most important. And in our failures, the Lord doesn't want you to go and just say, Lord, I've failed. He wants you to ask, why? You understand? I told you last week there's only one person who ever asked why suffering and rejection and death came to Him. That was the Lord Jesus. We can't go into that now. But this week, those who failed, they said, why? Let me challenge you. Do not go into God's presence and say, why did you cause me to suffer? Why did you cause my loved one to die? No. But you can't go into God's presence and say, Lord, I'm a failure. Why? That's perfectly in order. When is the last time you did it? When is the last time that you acknowledged to God plainly that you were a failure? There are some who say, we're not to talk about that today. We are to talk about it. There's no need, if you have failed, to go into the Lord's presence and pretend you've been successful. You'll never accomplish anything. Why not go to the doctor? And he says, why are you here? To tell you how healthy I am. Fine. Then bring in the next patient. And so you go into the Lord's presence. Why are you here? It's because I'm such a great success, and yet your heart is broken and you're miserable and you're experiencing a defeated life. And the Lord says, you're here, and I'm the great physician, and I can not only heal bodies, but I can heal the broken hearted. Now, tell me, what's wrong? That is why we have to have talks with Jesus. One thing that would bore me to death, and yet I see how essential it is briefings. I hear that there are those who go out in business, and when they come back, they have to have briefings. Why? Because those that are in management know that even though it's boring at times, you have to find out why this man was not selling the product the way he should have sold it. Why this man did. You have to have these debriefings, successes, and failures. Now listen, I told you that when the apostles went out, they came back and talked to Jesus. That when the disciples went out, they came back and talked to Jesus. And when Jesus went out, He came back and talked to His Father. You say, He did? Yes. He said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify Thy name. Now listen to Him. He said, when I was with them on earth, I have given them Thy word. Father, they are not of the world, as I am not of the world. Father, He's telling the Father the things that He did with the Christians. He, the Son, is telling the Father what He did and what He taught Him. You say, well, isn't that remarkable? Of course it is. And so if the apostles and the disciples and the Savior did it, you say, then it's absolutely essential that when we serve the Lord, after our service, we must come back and talk to the Lord. And that's why I repeated it in Mark chapter 6 and why I emphasized it. It said they came back and told the Lord all things, whatsoever they had done and whatsoever they had taught. That's so good. And I remember doing it as a very young Christian. I think back now, and I have to smile and at times laugh, because In the first few months of my salvation, I was trying to learn the Word of God, and I wanted to witness the souls, and one brother that had been ever so influential in my life, I said, now, you have to come in, I'm going to practice on you. You've got to pretend that you are my opponent, and I want you to tell me things, and I'm going to try to answer them from the Word. And he said, all right, he said, I'm somebody and I don't believe the Bible and I never will believe the Bible. And then I would pound away and try to give him the answers and I'm a lost sinner and I'm not going to believe. And so I went through this in like manner. We are to go into God's presence and talk to him about our successes and talk to him about our failures. And when you do, don't be so taken up with your successes that you forget to mention your failures. And when you talk to him about your successes, that you fail to learn the other lessons that he would have you to consider, even when you're successful, and do not fail to ask him why you were unable this time to do the things you had done in the past. That is what is so important. And do not be ashamed to compare yourself with others when it comes to success and failure. This is what I mean. It says that the nine who were at the foot of the mountain when Jesus came back, it says that they were helpless to cast out the demons. But it says that not apostles, but 70 of the disciples were sent forth, and they came back and they said, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us. Now think of that. Here am I, an apostle, and I have to listen to 70 disciples that are in a lower position in their relation to the Lord than I am, and I have to listen to them talking about their success in casting out demons. Isn't that remarkable? You say, it certainly is. Here I am, apostle, and if anyone should be successful, I should be the one, and I have to listen to people that are less than I, and they are the ones that are telling about their successes. I had to do the same thing. I remember preaching at businessmen's clubs, and I would go up like I come here every year, and I had one message with three parts. And I went to this business club, and I preached the first part of the message one year, and then I preached the second part, and the third year I came back, just a businessman. He wasn't in the full-time service. He said, I've been waiting for the third part of that message. He said, I've won so many souls, and I'm waiting for the third part of that message so I can win more. Here, what souls have I won? And this man is taking the message that I'm preaching, and he's waiting for the third part so he can go out and win souls. Here I am, a servant of the Lord, commended to the Lord, and here is an ordinary businessman, and he's taking the same words that came from my lips, and he's being effectual in the preaching of them. And so I said, well, praise the Lord. Maybe I've got to preach more sermons to other people, and souls will get saved. For this reason, I have had talks with the Lord, and the sad thing is this, what I will have to tell the Lord. Tell him about your successes. What successes could you tell the Lord that you've experienced this past week? Tell me. Tell me about the souls you've won this past week. You say, I haven't even witnessed. And I now am confessing that if I went into the presence of the Lord and thought of my past life, I would say, Lord, I'm so ashamed because I'm a failure when it comes to winning souls. I have led my mother to Christ, perhaps my sister, my uncle, one here, one there. I've witnessed to my cousins, but I've seen no response from them. Oh, Father, I've done so much preaching, and I've seen so few souls saved. That's my confession. I'll add more to it in a moment, but that's what I would have to confess to the Lord. And I believe that my Savior would give me this consolation. He would say, my child, I want you to know that I had the same experience. You say, how could he say that? Because he's already said it. It said, then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mightiest works were performed, because they repented not. And then he went into the presence of the Father and he said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. Yea, Father, for so it was good in thy sight. The Lord Jesus had to say, Father, I've performed my greatest miracles, I've preached my greatest messages, and these cities have not repented. I thank you, Father. The Savior would say, I've had that same experience. Preach the word. And someone that I could look down on and say, you've won less souls than I have. And his name was Noah, and he preached 120 years, and he didn't get one convert. And he was a preacher of righteousness, and not one piece of fruit did he bring into the ark. You say, 120 years, isn't that sad? And that's the encouragement. Someone sent this encouragement to me that Noah should have said, souls aren't getting saved. I'm going to quit this preaching. I've got to go somewhere else. I've got to do something different. If a man is preaching what God tells him to preach in the way that he wants him to preach, and nobody is saved for 120 years, you haven't been a failure, you've been a success. You've done the will of God. You understand that. And if the Lord Jesus said, they haven't repented, the Lord Jesus hasn't been a failure, he's been a success. To do the will of God and leave the outcome to God is to be a success. But it is pleasant when we do the will of God and we can see fruit. But this much I can say, I cannot point out souls I've led to the Lord, but I have fed you here for over 20 years. And there are things you know, and there are things that I've taught you that nobody else has ever taught you. I've been feeding God's lambs, and I've been feeding God's sheep, and that's what the Lord Jesus told his Father. He said, Father, I have given them thy word. And I said this, that can be an epitaph that is true, that can be put on my tombstone. You couldn't put on there, here is one that's been a great soul winner. He saved thousands. But you can put this on my tombstone. I have given them thy word. However successful it's been, all these years I have been preaching the word, instant, in season, out of season. I've been reproving, rebuking, exhorting with all long-suffering and doctrine. And the Lord says, well, come and tell me those things. And therefore, I understand that he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And so for that reason, an evangelist takes them out of the world. And then I, a teacher, put God's word into their heart and take the world out of them. And so that way, if I thought back and said, whom have I taught and what do the people of God know, then I might have encouragement. So you may be looking for success in an area in which God has not gifted you. But you look at that area in which God has gifted you, and I promise you that there will be some fruit. But now, there may be failure, and the failure may be your fault. The Lord Jesus, when he said, Father, I've preached, I've demonstrated with miracles the truth. Why? The Father didn't say to him, because of your little faith, no such thing. He never asked the Father why, because he had done perfectly. He said, I do always those things that please my Father. Not a word ever issued from his lips contrary to the will of God, the mind of God. And so the Lord Jesus never said why. He said, I thank you, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. I wish I could say that concerning myself. And the apostles down in the valley, the nine that failed, I know they wish they could say, even though it was good in thy sight, it wasn't good in his sight. Because the Lord Jesus said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? You understand? And then, why could we not do it? He didn't say to them, why? You've experienced the same as I experienced. You did what you could, but it was the will of God. It wasn't that at all. He said, because of your little faith and because of your neglect of prayer. I could have read the other passage and seen both the answers that the Lord Jesus gave. And so they came and said, why, we failed. Do not think the Lord Jesus is going to say, no, don't take it so hard. You haven't failed. He said to them, because of your little faith. No. Because of your little prayer. Man, that's bad. Then I can't say, I thank you, Lord, that I haven't been praying. And I thank you, Lord, that I have such little faith. Do you think we can pray that way? You say, no. Then what do you have to do? We have to confess our sins. And then this kind cometh not out save by prayer and fasting. And so if there is a denial of the flesh by fasting, and if there is a weakening because the power of God is not coming to us because we have not, because we ask not, then we have to pray and we have to deny the flesh and self. And at the same time, if our prayer and faith are not as they should be, then we have to start praying and we have to start increasing our faith by a contemplation of what is possible with those that serve and rely upon the Lord. At least I know the remedy. If a doctor says, you're sick and this is the remedy, faith and prayer, at least I'm going to seek to find out about faith and prayer. And that's what's wrong with these failures. And evidently, their prayer life was restored, and also their faith was increased, because later they won souls, they taught souls, they were used of God, and that is the encouragement here, that they talked to the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus acknowledged their failures and restored their souls. And let me tell you this, I can't help but notice the human element in it. When the Lord said to Elijah, what are you doing here, Elijah? Elijah said, Lord, he said, I want you to know that the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant. They've thrown down your altars. They're seeking to slay your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only am left. And they're seeking to take my life away. Now, what an answer to give the Lord. Do you see? The Lord talked to him about failure. And I can't go into it now, but the Lord said, all right, go and anoint Elisha to take your place. And the Lord said, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Lord, yea, Lord, you know that I love you. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yea, Lord, you know that I love you. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. You see how we are. And so the Lord says, all right, I won't put you through it all. Then feed my lambs, feed my sheep. And so God knows how hard it is, but may we in God's presence confess our failures, and then perhaps we'll experience successes. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful that you know us. You knew before you ever saved us what we were going to be after you saved us. And you saved us in spite of that, and we are glad. And even though we know we've been wrong at times, we hate to come and right out tell you that we are complete failures, and you bear with that as well. But help us to be open and honest, and let the light of God shine in our hearts. And let us confess what we are without thee. And let us also confess what we can be with thee. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. But without that prayer and without that faith, we can do nothing. So, Father, we know much about the failures. Let us talk to thee about them. And then, by thy grace, restore our souls. And let us be able to talk to thee about our successes. Hear us, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.